From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me Ahmad Faisal in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Managing Director of IMF praises the increasing of economic growth of Indonesia and Asia amidst trade war and global recession. Indonesia and Malaysia have opportunity to make joint certification standard of palm oil. Now, the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, after receiving credentials letter from ambassadors of extraordinary and plenipotentiaries, designate residents or designate non-residents to Indonesia to conduct discussion with them at Merdeka Palace in Jakarta. The discussion, which was held on Wednesday, initiated by extraordinary and plenipotentiary ambassador of Argentina to Indonesia, Gustavo Arturo Torres. The agenda is usually conducted by the president when welcoming new ambassadors of neighboring countries to Indonesia. The ambassadors discussed with President Jokowi, who was accompanied by Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi. Besides Argentinian ambassador, representative of neighboring countries who also discussed with the president, among others, Ambassador of Zimbabwe to Indonesia, Sofia Nyamudesa, and Ambassador of Republic of Iran to Indonesia, Muhammad Qos Haikal Azad. Indonesia and Malaysia committed to hold exchange of views related to make joint certification standards of palm oil. This was conveyed by Malaysian Primary Industry Minister Teresa Kok in responding the statement of Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto in a press conference when visited MPOB International Palm Oil Congress and Exhibition in Kuala Lumpur Convention Center on Tuesday afternoon. Earlier, Minister Erlangga Hartarto, after attending the second ministerial meeting of palm oil producing countries in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia on Monday, said that Indonesia and Malaysia committed to establish joint international standard of the two countries by keeping of paying attentions to people's plantation or smallholders. According to Minister Teresa Kok, Indonesia and Malaysia have their own sustainable palm oil agencies, namely Indonesia Sustainable Palm Oil, ISPO, and Malaysia Sustainable Palm Oil, MSPO. However, every country is possible to have different application. Therefore, it is hoped that there will be an opportunity to discuss the matters.
I think we will exchange notes because Indonesia has ISPO, Malaysia has MSPO. We are already moving forward with MSPO. We are moving towards by February next year, we believe we can achieve 70% of the total planted area MSPO certified. So we are going to move forward. So we can discuss exchange views with Indonesia, but we must also understand each country, there are some practices, it might be different. So, these are the things that we can always discuss.
To respond pressures to meet global demands for sustainable palm oil products, Indonesia and Malaysia have their own agencies which handling certification standards. ISPO belonging to Indonesia aims to improve the competitiveness and sustainability of the palm oil industry, while Malaysia MSPO is the national certification agency that giving certificate for palm oil plantation and palm oil processing factory. Global Economic Prospects of June 2019 edition explained that the slowing pace of global economies caused by the sluggish international trade growth project of global gross domestic products that reaches 2.6% is considered the lowest in the last decade since global financial crisis in 2008. In the national work meeting in Jakarta on Tuesday, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi conveyed that economic growth of Indonesia is still good. It was assessed by International Monetary Fund Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva.
Pertemuan Presiden dengan Managing Director IMF di Bangkok yang terjadi pada tanggal 3 November. Ada beberapa penilaian yang diberikan.
President's meeting with the IMF Managing Director in Bangkok took place on November 3rd. There were several assessments given by IMF Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva, both to Indonesia and ASEAN. Firstly, the economy in Indonesia is considered quite good. Then when we talk about our environment in Southeast Asia, ASEAN, Kristalina said that ASEAN is in a bright spot in the world economy. Kristalina acknowledged that the world would still be filled with uncertainties caused by at least two things, namely trade tensions and geopolitical tensions from an economic perspective and from its political aspects. Minister Retno added that the world economic growth in 2019 is expected to reach 3.2% and increase to 3.5% in 2020, depending on the world situation. Meanwhile, IMF Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva views that although the growth of world economy is experiencing very slow, but it is synchronized. The slow economic growth occurred in almost 90% of countries in the world. To handle this case, Indonesian Chambers of Commerce and Industry established task force the increasing of trade and investment of 9 important aspects related to export and investment, such as logistical reforms, human resources and labor productivity, taxations, incentive and standardization and certification. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia. Indonesian Ambassador to Jordan and Palestine Andy Rahmianto paid a visit to a Palestinian refugee camp in Talbiyah on Tuesday to hand over a medical transportation unit donated by several Indonesian medicine and food companies. The donation was initiated by the Indonesian Drug and Food Supervisory Agency, BPOM, in cooperation with the Jordan Hashemite Charity Organization, GHCO, and a medical aid for Palestine MAP. The Indonesian Embassy in Amman, Jordan, noted in a press statement on Wednesday, the refugee camp houses some 25,000 displaced Palestinians. Ambassador Andy Rahmianto revealed that the Indonesian Embassy had come up with programs to assist Palestinian and Syrian refugees in Jordan as a priority under its humanitarian policy. In addition to medical transportation unit, the remaining funds will be utilized by the Jordan Hashemite Charity Organization to procure food, winter clothing, and medical equipment for Palestinian refugees. The Indonesian Embassy has held fundraising activities in cooperation with several NGOs, universities, and celebrities for Palestinian refugees. Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs and Investment Luhut Panjaitan has asserted the government's commitment to not sacrifice the archipelago's environment for economic development. Speaking during a discussion in Jakarta on Tuesday, Minister Luhut said Indonesia was looking for its own equilibrium, not that used by United States and Europe. Minister Luhut said that he will never issue any regulations that will harm the future of his children and grandchildren. According to the minister, Indonesia still had much potentials in developing new and renewable energy across the country, such as geothermals and biomass. Minister Luhut also highlighted the importance of biodiesel, especially biodiesel derived from palm oil. Several Chinese businessmen signed contracts of imports valued at 35.1 trillion rupiah, or $2.5 billion, with their Indonesian counterparts. Indonesian Ambassador to China Johari Oratmangun stated in Beijing on Tuesday the deals were struck during the Indonesia-China Business Forum and China Coal Import Summit. Coal imports dominated the contracts ink on the sidelines of the Second China International Import Expo CIIE in Shanghai. Furthermore, the contracts encompasses the imports of other products including electronics, agriculture, food, beverage, plastic pellets and mining products, the ambassador noted at the Indonesian Pavilion of the CIIE officially opened on November 5, 2019. According to the ambassador, Swallow Nas products, recycled plastic pellets, oleochemical, coal, and food products are among Indonesian products like most and well sold in Chinese markets. Indonesia sent a 120 members delegation to the Festival of Arts and Culture held in Kuching, Malaysia. Director of Cultural Heritage and Diplomacy of the Indonesian Education and Culture Ministry, Najamuddin Ramli, stated in Sarawak, Malaysia, on Wednesday that Indonesia has agreed on organizing this festival along with Brunei Darussalam, the Philippines, and Malaysia to strengthen our friendship. According to Najamuddin, the Philippines initiated the festival in a bid to deepen relations among Southeast Asian countries. The closeness among neighboring countries is obvious as they share the similar culture and tradition. Kuching hosted the second edition of the Arts and Culture Festival, while the first one was organized in the Philippines, and Brunei Darussalam will organize the third festival. Indonesia will likely to be the host of the fourth edition of the festival. Indonesia has planned to hold the festival at an attractive tourist destination beyond Bali. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Today's commentary is on protests in Iran marking worsening U.S.-Iran relations. Iran has been hit by demonstrations again. People took to the streets in Tehran and other cities. The demonstration marked by the destruction of public facilities was triggered by the government's decision to raise fuel prices. It was reported in the demonstration that began 3 days ago, more than 10 people lost their lives. In addition to deploying security forces, the Iranian government has also closed national internet networks in almost all regions of the country. At least 100 demonstrators have been arrested by security forces. Widespread demonstrations in Iran have not only happened once. The economic hardship that hit the middle and lower classes had previously led to demonstration too. In the midst of this difficult economic situation, Iranian President Hassan Rouhani made the decision to raise fuel prices. The decision was actually a difficult one, but the government was forced to do it. The main reason was for overcoming the country's economic problems. As a result of the imposition of U.S. sanctions, Iran can no longer export oil, while in fact, oil exports are the mainstay of the government to sustain and maintain the country's economy. The policy of the Iranian president, which was also supported by Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, immediately ignited the demonstration as a form of rejection. Rising fuel prices by around 50% were indeed very unpopular, even though President Rouhani has stated that the proceeds from the sale of domestic oil will be used to subsidize the poor. The latest condition in Iran, which were wrecked by massive demonstration, also marked the deterioration in Tehran's relation with Washington. Tehran accuses Washington of supporting the rallies. The accusation is indeed reasonable. In Washington, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo even made it clear that the United States government was with the protesters. Pompeo accused the Iranian government of using violence against the protesters. The demonstration has led to a new dispute between Iran and United States. This condition certainly makes it increasingly difficult to overcome or at least reduce tensions between the two countries. Previously, the Tehran government had succeeded in quelling demonstrations, which had also been triggered by the deteriorating economy due to U.S. sanctions. How about this time? It is still to be seen. That was commentary. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world. Hello, welcome back to Today in History. I'll begin with November the 20th, 1945. The trial of the Nuremberg process begins. The Nuremberg trial process is a series of trials of cases relating to political, military, and economic leaders from Nazi Germany. The series of trials took place in the city of Nuremberg, Germany, from 1945 to 1946 in the Nuremberg courthouse. The first and most famous trial was the main war criminals before the International Military Tribunal, which tried 24 of the most important Nazi German capture. It took place from November the 20th, 1945 to October the 1st, 1946. Returning to November 20, 1962, the Cuban Sea blockade ends. The Cuban Missile Crisis is a crisis that occurred in 1962 as a result of the Cold War between the United States and the Soviet Union. This crisis came after the fact that the United States had sponsored an attack on the Bay of Pigs belonging to Cuba, a communist country in the Caribbean Sea. Despite the failure, this raid has angered the Soviet Union as the world communist leader, as well as the Cuban people themselves. In September 1962, Nikita Khrushchev, Prime Minister of the Soviet Union, stated to the United States President John F. Kennedy that every subsequent attack on Cuba would be considered an act of war. Not long after, the Soviet Union immediately deployed medium-sized missiles equipped with nuclear warheads in Cuba. Negotiations between these two arch enemies took place with difficulty because the two sides felt ready to fight and did not want to reduce their demands. On October 28, 1962, Khrushchev stated that the Soviet Union was willing to move its nuclear as long as the U.S. promised not to invade Cuba. The blockade officially ended on November 20, 1962, when all missiles had been moved from Cuba. I'll conclude with November 20, 2006, President Bush visits Indonesia. U.S. President George W. Bush met with President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono at the Bogor Palace on November 20, 2006 during his visit to Indonesia. The brief six-hour meeting discussed various matters, namely investment, development of new energy sources, and tsunami early warning systems. Together with the First Lady Laura Bush, U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, and U.S. Ambassador Lynn B. Pasco, Bush took a helicopter from Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport to Bogor. Outside the meeting, various demonstrations took place against the presence of the number one person in America. Bush's arrival in Indonesia shows Indonesia's important position internationally. Bush wants to make Indonesia a strategic partner in combating terrorism as sources of energy supply and development of democratization. Well, that was Today in History. For Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World.
Tidak didengar.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia entitled Galang Batang Special Economic Zone absorbs 20 trillion rupiah investment. Galang Batang Special Economic Zone in Riau Islands absorbed 20 trillion rupiah investment in November 2019. The investment came from Global Aluminium from Singapore, Pressmetal from Malaysia, and PT Mahkota Karya Utama from Indonesia. Leader of PT Bintan Alumina Indonesia, Santoni, as shareholder on Sunday, November 17, said that investment agreement had been signed on Friday and witnessed by acting governor of Riau Islands, Isdianto. Santoni said, the special investment for aluminium industry is for 3 to 5 year term. Santoni added, the project will absorb dozens hundreds of manpower. For the first stage, it will consist of 50% local manpower and 50% foreign workers. However, local manpower will gradually dominate the composition. Currently, there are many workers who are sent to study in China so that they will be able to lead the company. Meanwhile, Acting Governor of Riau Islands, Isdianto, said regional government and stakeholders are ready to support such investment according to their authority. He hoped the aluminium project can push economic growth, especially in Riau Islands, that is currently sluggish. He also hoped there will be more local workers absorbed so that the local economy will increase. Galang Batang Special Economic Zone had been set through Government Regulation No. 42/2017 on October 12, 2017 that made this region as the quickest to operate. The main activity of Galang Batang Special Economic Zone is bauxite processing and logistics in 2,333 hectare land. That was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, we will present you about Bono in Riau. Stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia. Bono is wave in the estuary of Kampar River in Pelalawan Regency, Riau Province, Indonesia. Bono wave of Kampar River is a natural phenomenon due to the confluence of river current to sea and sea current which enter to the river due to high tide. Usually, Bono wave only happens at the edge of the beach or vast lake due to changes in water and wind flow. The wave, which is quite large, is usually used for surfing. Therefore, if seeing surfer who is surfing at the sea, it is something familiar. But seeing surfer who is surfing on river current is extraordinary thing. The largest bono usually happens when rainy season, in which water discharge in Kampar River is quite large. It is around November and December. Scientifically, bono wave is one of the natural phenomena which rarely happens. Bono wave happens due to the collision of three currents of water which come from Malacca Strait, South China Sea and water flow of Kampar River, which creates wave at the estuary of Kampar River as high as 4 to 5 meters. This is signed by Great Thunder. Bono wave usually happens every 13 to 18 of the middle month in Islamic calendar. The wave has white and brown colors following water of Kuala Kampar River. In addition, bono wave also happens in the beginning and at the end of Islamic calendar. To go to Kampar River, it is quite difficult because there is not a lot of public transportation to go there, so you should rent a car in Pangkalan Kerinci. To the location from Pekanbaru, it can be accessed by two ways. The first one is through Pekanbaru Pangkalan Kerinci Road, then turn left at Bunut Junction, then enter to Jalan Poros Bono to Teluk Meranti Village. The second way is through Waterline. You should drive car from Pekanbaru to Pangkalan Kerinci. From Pangkalan Kerinci Bridge, it can be continued by speed boat to Teluk Meranti Village or Pulau Pemuda Village, so you can choose what route you want to go. Kampar River creates heaven not only for surfing lovers, but also for those who are enthusiastic about photography.
Here you can take the picture of Malayan typical stage house with beautiful and natural scenery as the background. In addition, you can also catch fish, have fun with local people and see fishermen's activities in the morning. Don't forget to see art performance, which is usually held at the hall. Local people here are very friendly. Enjoying art and traditional instruments will become media to release your fatigue. A listener, that was Indonesian Wonder. Thank you for listening.
Jatuh cinta kepada dirimu saat ini. Aku takut kau curangi cinta sejatiku, kau nodai. Rasaku hilang dan entah kemana cintaku. Meskinya kau tak permainkan aku, rasaku hilang dan entah kemana cintaku hilang, hilang karenamu. Haruskah ku mengulang kisah ini? Aku takut jatuh cinta kepada dirimu saat ini. Aku takut kau curangi cinta sejatiku, kau nodai. Rasaku hilang dan entah kemana cintaku hilang, terhapus sang waktu. Meskinya kau tak permainkan aku, rasaku hilang dan entah kemana cintaku hilang, hilang karenamu. Haruskah ku jatuh cinta kepada dirimu saat ini?
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is office hours or jam kerja. Next is a conversation about jam kerja or office hours. Tony and Enda are talking about Joko's work.
Di sini biasanya mulai kerja jam berapa?
Rata-rata mulai jam 7.30 dan selesai jam 4 sore.
Kalau istirahat, jam berapa?
Istirahatnya jam 12 sampai jam 1.
Oh, jadi istirahat 1 jam ya?
Iya.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Di sini, jam berapa biasanya mulai kerja? Di sini, jam berapa biasanya mulai kerja? Which means, what time does it usually start working here? Rata-rata mulai jam 7.30 dan selesai jam 4 sore. Rata-rata mulai jam 7.30 dan selesai jam 4 sore. Which means it usually starts at 7:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Istirahat jam berapa? Istirahat jam berapa? Which means what is the time to take a break? Istirahat jam 12 sampai jam 1. Istirahat jam 12 sampai jam 1. Which means the break is at 12 to 13 o'clock. Oh, jadi istirahat 1 jam ya. Jadi istirahat 1 jam ya. Which means oh, it is only 1 hour for the break, right? In the dialogue, Tony said, "Di sini biasanya mulai kerja jam berapa?" The word biasanya is an adverb that shows frequency. Here are next adverbs that show frequency: selalu or always, biasanya or usually, sering or often, kadang-kadang or sometimes, jarang or rarely, and tidak pernah, or never. For examples, saya selalu berangkat kerja pukul 7. Saya selalu berangkat kerja pukul 7. In English, I always go to work at 7 o'clock. Mereka biasanya pulang kerja jam 4 sore. Mereka biasanya pulang kerja jam 4 sore, which means they usually go home at 4 p.m. Aku sering pergi ke sekolah jam 7. Aku sering pergi ke sekolah jam 7, which means I often go to school at 7 o'clock. Dia kadang-kadang pulang jam 10 malam. Dia kadang-kadang pulang jam 10 malam. Which means sometimes he comes home at 10 p.m. Tony jarang datang terlambat. Tony jarang datang terlambat. Which means Tony rarely comes late. Actually, there are still other kinds of adverbs, but the words selalu, biasanya, sering, kadang-kadang, and tidak pernah are often used in daily conversation. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Di sini biasanya mulai kerja jam berapa?
Rata-rata mulai jam 7.30 dan selesai jam 4 sore.
Kalau istirahat, jam berapa?
Istirahatnya jam 12 sampai jam 1.
Oh, jadi istirahat 1 jam ya?
Iya.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Esok takkan lagi satu jam saja hingga ku rasa bahagia mengakhiri segalanya. Oh.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, in today's segment of Music Corner, we present a song from Riau entitled Soleram. The first verse of this typical song of Riau tells about a message for children to defend their dignity, while the second verse tells about a message to keep unity. The song Soleram is not only famous in Indonesia. The top singer from Africa, Miriam Makeba, dedicated the song, even put it in one of her albums. Soleram, which often called as Lullabies, had been played in a music concert in Prague, Czech Republic. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Soleram, sung by The Lloyd. Enjoy the song.
Indonesia.
Saja anak gadisnya peduli apa sama omanya, larikan saja cinta kawin tak jadi. Larikan saja anak gadisnya, peduli apa sama omanya. Larikan saja anak gadisnya, peduli apa sama omanya. Kalau begini siapa yang salah? Lagi bercinta ada yang marah. Sudah terjadi siapa yang susah? Lagi bercinta ada yang marah. Sudah terjadi siapa yang susah? Larikan saja anak gadisnya, peduli apa sama omanya. Larikan saja anak gadisnya, peduli apa sama omanya.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.